Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Susan Cowley of the Cowley Group, ChisholmCrossing.com, and founder and covenant partner with the Talitha Kum Institute. Hosting the conversation is Liz Taylor, director of the Waco Convention Center, Waco and the Heart of Texas. This conversation was recorded July 24, 2014, in the studios of KWBU.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking today with Susan Cowley, owner and creative director at the Cowley Group and ChisholmCrossing.com, and founder and covenant partner with the Talitha Kum Institute. And there are so many other things that you're involved in, Susan. So I'm really excited that we're going to have a little conversation here.
Well, thank you, Liz. I'm delighted you asked.
Well, that is what we're going to do, is just have a good conversation, and we're going to talk. I usually try to start out by asking the guest to give us a little bit of history about you, Susan Cowley. Just tell us a little bit about yourself so that everybody is kind of aware of all of the things of what you do, because what I know about you, Susan, is that you are active and involved in a myriad of different things, but you're kind of the silent partner. You're the person that we really don't always hear from. So this is my chance to ask you to tell us about Susan Cowley.
Well, there are a lot of people who would say, oh, yes, we hear from her. I do have a voice, and I use it quite a lot. But you're right. There is that aspect of my life that I have been behind the scenes in a lot of things. And particularly when you talk about something we founded, like Talitha Kum Institute, people say, oh, who is Ms. Kum, and, you know, how can I call her? But it's a mental health therapeutic nursery, and when we founded it, we were following God's call, and you don't stand on the street corner and yell about that.
That's right.
It's a quiet thing, and it's taken 12 years for it to become well known. The Cowley Group would never have come about. I did not see myself as an entrepreneur, but I worked for a man in a marketing firm who walked in one day at lunch and said, we're closing at noon. And I thought, oh, good, what am I going to do? Shall I, you know, go get my hair done or whatever? And he said, no, we're closing.
Closing, the company, like final closing.
Yes, forever. Wow. And I took a deep breath and I said, well, what should I do with all my clients? And he said, I think you should open your own marketing firm. And I did, mm-hmm. and we had some wonderful clients, and that firm, his, would have stayed open for quite a while, but he robbed it blind himself, which was big news to me. And so I opened my own, but I had no intention of doing it, no intention of ever doing it. So I learned that you can be an entrepreneur almost by accident.
Sure. And when did you go out with the Cowley Group? When was that? How many years?
Oh, heavens. It was probably 1984.
Okay.
I can't. It was 100 years ago. I can't remember. but we opened the next day.
Okay.
Kept the same furniture, went to the bank, opened an account. We didn't know what we were doing. But we did it. We had great clients. Plantation Foods was a client then, going strong. And we just kept going. So some things were quiet because I had no intention of doing it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's actually just, that's how life happens.
Yes.
So many times.
Yes.
So many times. So, and then, so you've got to give more detail. You've got to talk more here about things that are part of your life and you know, what you do and what you like to do, things like that.
Wow. Well, it's a very full life. There's family. There's, of course, we have four grandchildren now, and they keep me busy when I have a moment to stop and acknowledge that I'm a grandmother, which isn't, I'm afraid, all as often as I wish. But Cross Ties Ecumenical Church took me to South Waco 27 years ago to learn from and love the poor. we had all come from mainline large churches, and it has influenced my life a great deal. So alongside being in a profession that puts you in front of very wealthy people, people who own companies and have a great deal of power, the other side of my life has been given to the people who are disenfranchised from power. And that's been a totally interesting mix, and I've really worked with that in my spirit a good deal because I felt like I was a monk in red roller skates.
Okay, say that again.
I'm a monk in red roller skates.
A monk in red roller skates. That's a great comment.
My deepest self is very monk-like. I'm quite an introvert, but most people know me as an extrovert because I can do that, and then I go home and crash. But the monk side of me wanted to be all about meditation, but my business life put the red roller skates on, and I learned that I could keep them on for Talitha Kum, to speak in front of an audience, to lead the charge in a big event. And so I've kept my red roller skates on, and it was probably, I was driving back from Dallas about a year ago when all that struggle ceased. I had struggled with why am I a monk in red roller skates, and all of a sudden it came to me, this is who you were created to be. This is who you are.
You follow your call.
You do. You just follow it. And I'm on the disc, the D-I-S-C, I'm a high D-I, and my moniker is Mission Impossible on the disc. And so it has been almost a Mission Impossible to lead in a nonprofit world where the poor are your buddies, the poor are your deeply loved friends. And then on the other side, your clients, we've had great clients. We've had so many blessings from clients. They're wonderful. It's not that they pay. It's that they're respectful. They know where they're headed. They allow us to help them go there. So, but they are the ones with generally in the world's view, the power. So it's been just fascinating to have all of that come together and to be a person of prayer and silence each day. Our faith community is committed to that. And then to put on my red roller skates and do what I need to do. It's really turned out to be a great life.
Well, needless to say, I mean, because I know you're greatly admired in this community as a leader. Let's talk a little bit about leadership. Where did you learn about leadership? Who were some of your models that you learned from?
Well, let me begin because I think I'll get to that answer.
Okay.
I talk in order to get where I'm going. My first leadership position, I believe, was when I was a junior in high school. I was in a club of 300 girls, and they elected me their president for my senior year, and I had no thought of being their president, none at all. I was the most shocked person in the room. And I thought, me? I'm going to do that? And then when I look back at my high school annual and I see all the pictures of Sue Swartz, that was my name. People in high school called me Sue. No one else has since except my creative director and friend, Patrick Polite. But I was Sue Swartz, and there I am in all these pictures doing things. And I look back on the things I was doing and realize that it's when other people see in you your innate self, your innate capabilities, they see something you don't see. And the most wonderful leadership in the world, I think, has evolved because someone evoked that gift. I think I had the gift of leadership, but
yes.
The worst thing is the person who jumps up and says, I should be president of the 300-member club. Well, that's the worst thing. You say, sit down. So I think I learned about leadership by beginning to do it and then watching the greats of the world like Mother Teresa and Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu and Mahatma Gandhi and Jesus Christ and the people in the world who said, I will be a servant first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And that all comes through. And I get all of that from knowing you, these, you know, we've known each other for 20 years.
We have.
Or a little over 20 years. But I also want to ask about leaders a little bit closer, people, mentors, or people a little bit closer in from, you know, from Mahatma Gandhi and some of those folks that we, you know, we can all, will always value the gift we got from all of those types of leaders. But who has touched you in a more, I guess, more local way? What leaders do you feel are significant? And would you, if you want to call them out, and if you don't, that's fine too.
Oh, no, I owe my greatest debt in understanding what a servant leader is for Marcia Marty, who is pastor of Cross Ties Ecumenical Church. So I've listened to her sermons for 27 years, and I quote her a good deal because she, in her being, she lives being a servant leader, and she preaches servant leadership. It comes through in every sermon. And we have a school called Servant Leadership School in which she teaches and I teach and others teach. And there is where I came most to allow myself to become a servant leader and to let go of the need for power. The whole world is looking for a blessing. They want to feel blessed. So then there's this grasping for power so mm-hmm. that I'll have an identity and then I'll feel blessed. The truth is, if we accept that we are already blessed by God, it gives us an identity that leads to great power. But the grasping for power is the opposite end of that. And when people work for someone who's grasping for power, they don't experience leadership. They call that person the boss, and they sometimes say it in a not-so-nice way. And so I think Marcia Marty taught me a great deal about servant leadership, and there have been so many people in my life. Nelwyn Reagan is such a servant to the community in raising money.
I want you to hold that thought.
Yes.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Liz Taylor, and I'm talking with Susan Cowley of the Cowley Group and Chisholm Crossing, and also the founder and covenant partner with the Talitha Kum Institute. So let's continue on about, because this was great. This is good.
So people like Nelwyn who give their lives in Virginia Dupuy and folks who have poured themselves into the community selflessly have taught me a great deal. But, you know, when I think about it, Liz, I often tell young people when they're coming up and they're feeling a little discouraged, I say, you know what? My first job was at Word Incorporated. We were very fortunate back in the 70s to have a big marketing machine out at Word.
This and community was influenced a lot by Word.
It very much was. Yeah. And my supervisor, when I was right out of Baylor, I had an English lit degree, and he hired me to be a copywriter. And they had called my professors, oh, well, she can write. Yes, she can write. But, you know, in those days, you didn't have much opportunity, really, to write. They wanted me for something else. But I started saying, let me try my hand at this. Let me try my hand at that. So I would take in this copy, and Bruce Bartell would take a big red pen, and he'd start marking it all up, and he'd shove it back across the desk, man of very few words, and I'd pick it up and go home crying. And then I'd come back, try again the next day. And every time I took something to him, he'd mark it all up with his red pen. One day I shoved it back to him. I was about to burst into tears. I said, Bruce, why do you keep me? He took a black pen. He circled one phrase on the page, and he shoved it back to me, and he said, that's why I keep you. I said, that's a phrase. He said, it's an original phrase.
There you go.
It's a creative phrase.
There you go.
And I tell young people all the time, then you say to your mentor, how do I do this better? And he said, you're just all the time burying your lead. Take the lead from the bottom, turn it into a headline at the top, rearrange, shuffle, quit using these long sentences you used at Baylor, shorten them up, and you've got it. But you've got it because you have the creative spirit and you have the words. You are a writer. I can see that. And so I tell writers, do not become discouraged.
Right.
Because if someone sees in you the talent, trust it. Trust yourself, trust them, and stay after it. So I learned a great deal from Bruce Bartell and Piers Bateman, who took over after Bruce and had a much kinder spirit about it. Piers taught me a great deal about writing. And they did it, Piers did it in a kind and gentle way. And so I learned the gentleness of being guided without fear.
Okay.
And that taught me a good deal about how to lead people.
That is very important. So let's also talk a little bit about another project in your life, Chisholm Crossing.
Yes.
A fairly new project.
It is.
Tell us a little bit about Chisholm Crossing. And then I want to come back around to what you were talking about earlier.
Sure. ChisholmCrossing.com is all about downtown Waco. And some folks have said, why do you call it Chisholm Crossing? It came up in a meeting. My husband, who's a recovering attorney, was in the meeting. And we were talking about downtown and what makes it what it is. And we talked about the historic influence of the Chisholm Trail and that it went across at the suspension bridge. And all of a sudden, my husband, who I don't often think of as very creative but very logical, stood up and said, well, it's Chisholm Crossing. And so we named it that. Some folks have said we should have named it downtownwaco.com, which was already taken. So it's all about everything you can do downtown. And we have designed the site to be very organic, but very interactive, highly interactive. And so.
And just to clarify, it is a website.
It is a website.
It is a website.
Not a place you go.
It's not a place you go.
But it is a place you go.
But it is. Yes. It's not a specific building.
No.
And it's not a specific event. It's all of that.
Everything.
Together.
And downtown for us is from the Mayburn to the Mammoth site,
right,
and everything in between. It's a great broad spectrum. And one of our most hit pages is the Meet or Venues page, where you go to select a place you want to do something. And we have a wizard, and you put in how many people you want to attend and whether you want to serve alcohol or have live music or a dance floor. You put in all the criteria, and it pops out this wonderful list of
places.
Gives
you a recommendation of the places that have all of those things. Yeah,
right.
Well, it's a great, and that's just one of the ways that you and I do get to work together is through Chisholm Crossing. But
right.
I wanted to put that in there because that is something that I'm not sure everyone who may be listening, everyone who listens. Understands that was kind of your brainchild with some partners, but that was your brainchild was Chisholm Crossing.
Right. You know, a website doesn't have your face on it, and you don't go out publicly and sell it. So, no, most of my friends who I've even asked to be a part of it have no idea I'm behind it at all.
Good.
Yeah.
We're revealing that. No. But really, I know knowing you, Susan, I know where your heart is with your ministry.
Yes.
And so let's talk more about that. Tell me more about what do you feel is critical in this community that maybe Talitha Kum or some of the other parts of the ministry are working on.
Well, Talitha Kum is a mental health therapeutic nursery, and we had no idea what that was. Dr. Keith Warren said to us the day we were so perplexed and went to him and said, we buried more teenagers than we've seen graduate from high school. And our local public elementary school said to us, the number one problem with entering kindergartners is that their mental health is already shot and they can't learn. We were so floored. We gasped, went to see Dr. Warren, who's a child psychologist, play therapy person, and he said, please start a mental health therapeutic nursery. Please do it. I've been begging for 20 years for someone to do it. And I said, well, where is one we can visit? Oh, they're in the Northeast. Just look them up on the Internet. Thought, well, this is the craziest idea ever, but okay. And when we started studying brain development, it made all the sense in the world. We finally realized conception to three, and now they say conception to two is your best window of opportunity. If you wait until they go to school, the brain development says that they have already had their brains organized around something, and for children in deepest poverty, they're often organized around chaos. And by the time they get to school, they are not at all ready to learn or to self-regulate. There's been too much trauma, too many days
and too much chaos.
Oh, yes, much, much chaos. Yeah. So that's what we do, and it makes sense, but it's if we had known how difficult it is, if we had known how hard it is, if we'd had a picture of that, would we have done it? I certainly hope so, because God called us to it. We had a youth group, but they were dying, going to prison, having babies at 15, and we said, well, there must be something we're missing in this picture. Mm-hmm. And the missing link was to start at birth.
I want you to because we're gonna run out of time here.
Yes,
in a little bit.
But yes,
I want you to jump ahead a little bit,
okay,
and talk about some of the success for Talitha Kum.
You know, people ask us that about being even in South Waco for 27 years. And we absolutely believe the only success anywhere in life is that we have faithfully loved. If we had not faithfully loved there, I'm not sure they would have trusted us enough to turn over babies to us.
Because, to stay in the community.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So the faithful loving for 27 years in one direction, in one community, has made a huge difference. The good news aspects that come out of Talitha Kum are seeing a child who was cussing and throwing chairs yesterday show up in kindergarten, and the teacher calls to say, she is my best child. She takes care of herself. She reads. She does this well and that one. And we just sit back and smile and say, well.
We all need to define success.
Yes.
In its own way.
Yes, we do.
Because that is a tremendous success
right
there.
Well, that they can self-regulate, mm-hmm, and learn in the classroom.
Exactly.
And self-regulation means I'll be able to stay in the classroom.
Exactly.
Staying in the classroom helps you to learn.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So. Yeah. You do a lot of so many different things. Tell us other things that you're involved in. We've got a little bit of time left.
Okay. Well, our Gospel Cafe ministry is a place 3 days a week where we do serve lunch for anyone from 11:30 to 1:30, and we do have the rich and the poor eating there together by donation.
Yes.
Some may leave a few pennies, some may leave nothing. And, you know, there's the whole theory between do you give a fish or do you teach a man to fish? And the truth is, along the way, while he's learning to fish, he must be fed.
Right.
And when Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you have done that for me. We feed folks because they need to eat. And some of them are trying very, very hard to raise themselves out of poverty. But they need the encouragement and the love and the respect to sit down at a table, be served a nice meal with a tablecloth, even if it's vinyl, it's colorful, and to be asked, would you like more tea? Would you care to have a dessert? We have six today. May I share with you what we have?
Wow.
That it's a respectful, loving atmosphere, and they leave saying, why do I feel better when I'm here? Mm-hmm. And I think, because you're loved and respected, mm-hmm, in this room, and you go out feeling better, yes, and your belly full, and for some, it's the only meal of the day. Yeah.
And there's always going to be a need in our community and in all communities for that, and it takes committed people.
Yes.
Who... First of all, can open their eyes and see that need,
mm-hmm,
and then a call to action, then decide that that something can be done about that.
Yes.
And so I admire you for all that you do in that, because it's amazing the impact it has on our community, even though it may just be one day. It may just be a young girl being able to self-regulate herself,
yeah,
so that she doesn't have a tantrum.
Yes.
and that she can stay in school and
yes,
she can stay in class, because if she learns that. And those are that's why I wanted to ask about success and what do you consider success? Mm-hmm. Because it's not always the big giant things.
Yes.
It's so many, so much more of it is the little bitty things.
Right.
And
exactly.
I don't think that we take time enough in regular life to celebrate those successes, those little things that build up over time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So what else about Susan
Cowley? You know what's very important to me is the Talitha Kum mentoring program. We send children out to kindergarten with a mentor who commits to that child until they go into a career or college. So it's kindergarten to college or career, and that's about a 12-year commitment.
That's great.
And I have a person, a young woman I mentor, who's now in the seventh grade, and she's a basketball player. And I send her to Kim Mulkey Camp every summer,
great.
And I watch her play basketball and have fun at it and perform. But it's a really amazing thing to bring someone into your life who's going to become, and they do become, a part of your family, because if they're going to be there 12 years, the point is to bring them along into your life,
right,
and to also be a part of their lives. And so it's been fascinating. And I think the most interesting thing was last year, she was at her award ceremony at the end of the year, and she had her head down. She said, well, I'm not going to win any award. And she just had her head down, and her friend punched her and said, they called your name. They called your name. And she ran up to get her award and had no idea what it was, folded it up, put it in her pocket. It got all sweaty. Her mother pulled it out and called me and said, she won the highest GPA in the sixth grade. And I said, really? Wow. And so I ran over there and we took it out. I took her home. We ironed it.
Well,
it was all folded up, sweaty. We ironed it and we took it to Hobby Lobby and we got it in a frame and said, oh, we're going to hang this in your room. This is so exciting. She had no idea what a GPA was, so we had to start there.
Sure.
But those are moments that you will have for a lifetime.
And she will.
Yes, and she will. She will.
Yeah.
So that mentoring program is very close to my heart. It costs Talitha Kum nothing because we have such committed mentors. And I would want anyone listening to just put into their mind, could I share my life that way? This is about taking someone to the bank so they know how banking works. It's taking them to the dry cleaners or with you to Walgreens when you pick up your pharmacy prescription. It's about life learning, and it's fun. It's actually very fun. And so I have four grandchildren, and I have Montiera, and it's just the most wonderful life. It's a great mix. But I think that all of us need to consider, no matter how full and busy our lives are, who do I have room for who needs me?
And recognizing that there is always room.
Yes.
There is always room in our lives because we've been given so much.
Right.
Yeah.
We
and
have.
We do. I want to give you one more opportunity. Anything you want to leave us with in your wisdom of leadership?
Well, I think we no matter where we are in our lives, taking a step back to say, am I serving the people I'm leading, or am I grasping for power? If I'm serving the people I'm leading, I will see them grow. I will see them flourish. It will be about their flourishing, not about them making me look good or better. So that's a question I leave with folks who are pondering whether or not their leadership matters.
Okay. And I think that's great. And I think that's very wise. And I've enjoyed this. Thank you so much for coming
Thanks,
with us.
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
Okay.
I am Liz Taylor, and I've been talking with Susan Cowley of the Cowley Group and ChishamCrossing.com and the Talitha Kum Institute and all those other things. And this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This conversation was recorded July 24th, 2014.